It was after the disciples had met together in that last night before Jesus had died, was going on to die rather, that Jesus initiated a meal which was really to do with remembering who he was and what he would do. After they'd had food, what happened was that Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This is the sign of your sins being washed away. Drink it and remember me." And so throughout the history of the church, throughout the millennia that the church has been going now, we have done exactly that. We have remembered Jesus. Because Jesus and what he did for us on the cross is at the very center of our faith. It's the heart of everything that we're about. It's the essence of Christianity, that actually our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his faithfulness and his love and his sacrifice on the cross. And so it's only because of what he did for us that it's possible for our sins to be washed away. It's only because he made a way for us that we can get back to God. It's only because he took the punishment that was actually coming to us that we no longer have to be fearful. He paid a price so that we would be set free. We were like slaves, and he paid the price to set us free. And that's what he did on the cross, so that we would have a new life, a new opportunity. And that's why we put this meal right at the center of our faith, right at the center of what we do as a community of faith. We break bread, remembering Jesus. We take the cup, remembering him. Because in doing so, we say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for us. We love you, Jesus. And we love what you're doing for us." And in doing so, we do that not just as individuals. We come individually, but we actually come together. And it's as the body of Christ. It's as the family of God that we come to eat and drink together. We share a common meal today. But we're also sharing in this common meal, this essence of our faith. That together, we are the family of God. Together, not just individually, but together we come forward and we receive from God what it is that he wants to do for us. So the invitation is to all those that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth, and who, having examined their hearts, know themselves to be in need of a Savior. None of us come because we are strong. None of us come because we are knowledgeable. None of us come because we are righteous or worthy. All of us come needing God, knowing that we are desperately in need of a Savior. All of us come on our knees. All of us come needing that wonderful, wonderful message that God gives to us again. You are welcome. I love you. Come now and receive my blessing. So as we eat and as we drink, we do that. So as you come forward, that's what you're saying, yes to God, yes to his love, yes to his kindness. So, Father, we ask that you'd set these elements apart from their common use to this holy use and mystery, that they may be for us the body of Christ broken and the blood shed, that they may be for us more than just simply these tokens, but that they may enable us to enter into this mystery, which is that we are caught up with Jesus in his suffering, that we are one with him, and one with one another. And so, Lord God, may you receive all the honor and glory in the midst of our time together. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we invite people to come forward. We'll have bread. And then on this side, there is a juice. And on this side, there will be port. So if you want to have non-alcoholic, it's that way. And alcoholic, that way. So that's what we're going to do. You're welcome to come. Just come and form a queue. So, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and with those that you love. Let's share the peace of Christ with folks around about us by saying, "The peace of Christ be with you," and greeting them appropriately.
Okay, so let's make a start. What we're going to do with this, if you've been around any of our learning communities that we've done, if you've been part of a learning community, we're going to kind of use some of the tools from the learning community to just take some time to think through, first of all, where we are and secondly, where we want to be. So if you've been around a learning community before, you'll know that we normally do, where are we? Where are we just now? Where do we want to be? And then we do a how are we going to get there? There's not enough time just in the couple of hours in the afternoon to do all of that. And we just want to make space for folks to be able to dream and to think through, well, you know, what is it God is calling you to? What is it that you're seeing that perhaps nobody else is seeing, but what is it that you're seeing that it would be good to be able to share with everybody else? I want to do just a wee bit of input, first of all, in terms of, well, why do we do this? And Alan, the passage Alan read this morning, the Deuteronomy passage, where God is getting them ready to move, God can see where it is they're going, and even they can see where they're going. But actually, there's a journey to get there. And what does that look like for them? So I want to take a wee look at this. We're going to go on a wee bit further in Deuteronomy. We're going on to Deuteronomy 4:1-14. And really, after the passage Alan read this morning, what happens in Deuteronomy is that Moses reminds the people about where they've been. He reminds the people about what's happened, where they've been, and then he prompts them into, well, where are we going to go, and what's it going to be like, and what we're going to need to know when we get there. So let's take a look, Deuteronomy 4:1-14, and we're going to break it up a wee bit. So it says, "Now Israel," this is Moses speaking, "hear are the decrees and the laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from amongst you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. But all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today." And really, God starts off and he says, "Remember who I am and remember what I've done before." That's what he's saying to them right at the very start. As he paints out, as he tells them it's time to move, as he tells them it's time to go, he says, "Remember who I am and remember what I've done before." And that's kind of what Alan was saying this morning when we talked about, when he talked about where we've been and the words that have been spoken over us already in terms of those prophetic words that we've had from various people that we then turned into declarations. "Remember who I am and what I've done before." And as we read on, verse 5 says, "See, I have taught you the decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about all these decrees and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, and the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today?'" And I think you can sum that up by saying, "Remember who you are because of who I am." When the Israelites moved into the promised land and people saw them, Moses is saying to them, people are going to look at you and they're going to say, "Good grief, look how close their God is to them. Who else, what other God is as close to people as this God is?" We are not defined by who we are necessarily. We're defined by who he is. And it's about him being with us and about the presence of God going with us into wherever it is we go that mark us as different to everybody else. So Moses calls the people to remember what God's done. He calls to the people to remember who they are, not because of who they are, but because of who he is. And then if we go on, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb when he said to me, 'Assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children.' You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens, with black clouds and deep darkness." That must have been quite something to be part of. Must have been quite something to be there and to actually experience all of that. But you know, those of us who experience huge moves of God, or those of us who experience God coming and God's faithfulness and God's provision and God's all the rest of it, Sometimes the people who come after us don't have that, or they definitely don't have that first-hand experience. First-hand experience is something quite different to everything else. But if you look at what it says, teach it to your children. Remember to tell those who weren't there. Remember to tell people who weren't there what God did. You know, so for some folks this morning who haven't been around over the last year, they've not followed the journey. They've not been part of the journey. They didn't weep with us over a year ago when we realized that what position we were in terms of our finances, when it looked as if we were struggling to pay staff, we were struggling to stay in the building in Bartley Curl House, we were struggling to pay for this. Tell the people who weren't there what God has already done. Make sure you tell them. Make sure you tell your children. Celebrate who God is. Tell them what it was like. Because actually, we don't want a division of them and us. We don't want some people who are kind of looking as if they're in there with God and that other people playing catch up. Tell people. Celebrate God. Tell people what they've done. Remember to tell those who weren't there. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my word so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach it to their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens with black clouds and deep darkness. And then the next bit. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to follow, and then wrote them on two stone tablets. And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees and the laws you are to follow in the land that you are crossing into the Jordan to possess. Remember, it's not about you, it's about me. And I think that that is the essence of the whole thing. And I suppose that's where I started this morning with a call to worship, that God sent his son into the world, that Jesus came, because actually it's not about us. We can have lots and lots of good ideas. We can have lots and lots and lots of good plans, but it's not ultimately about us. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God. It's all about what it is that he is doing, and it's about discerning what it is that God's doing and then jumping on board with that. I said to folks recently, I've come to the place where I'm done with good ideas. I don't want any good ideas anymore. I'm not interested in them. I'm only interested in the God ones. I've spent years having good ideas and then saying to God, will you bless it? You know, look, God, I've had this great idea. And, you know, sometimes I think God's been sitting there saying, well, you're just going to just ask me because, like, I've got a better one than that. I'm done with the good ones. I just want the God ones. Because it really is all about him and not all about me. This wasn't a smoke and mirrors thing. This was the holy God. This was what Alan was talking about this morning. That place of realizing that the magnitude of the God that we serve, realizing the holiness of the God that we serve, realizing that this is not the Wizard of Oz where you can pull the curtain back and you see the wee man winding the wheels. That this is actually the awesome God that we serve. So remember, Moses says to the people, it's actually about him and it's not about you. And as we come today to start to think about, first of all, where we are and then where it is we're going and what God is laying on our hearts, Alan's painted the big picture this morning. And we want to give space for folks to be able to say within that big picture, well, here's what's on my heart. Here's where I'm sitting with. Here's what I'm sitting with today. Before we do that, though, we do want to take stock. We want to do what Moses is doing here, and we want to remember. We actually want to sit, and we want to say, right, okay, so where are we at, and what is that speaking into where we're going next? And to do that, if you've been around learning communities before, you'll know that we often, at the very first gasp, very first bit, we do a SWOT analysis, and that's what we're going to do. But I'm going to suggest that you do it slightly differently this morning. No, even this afternoon, because we've tipped in the afternoon. In a SWOT analysis, we think about where we're at the moment. So what are our strengths as a church? What are our weaknesses? What are the threats that there are to us? And what are the opportunities that we have? That's a SWOT analysis, the bare bones of a SWOT analysis. And what we would love you to do is to try and get above and to look down across the whole church. So we know that you're involved in particular areas and I'm involved in particular areas, and we've got there are the wee things that we're actually part of ourselves, and they contribute to this. But what would be really helpful would be if we could actually look above the whole thing, to look and see what as a whole are our strengths, where are our weaknesses, where are the threats, and where are the opportunities. And I'm going to suggest that you do that by thinking about some sentence stems. If you're thinking about coming to the emotionally healthy relationships stuff, this is straight from the emotionally healthy relationships course. So in strengths, if you think about starting the strengths with, I am grateful for, or I really appreciate. So I am grateful for the fact that we have had more than 80 people who have come to faith in the last 2 years. That would be a strength. So think about, what is it you're grateful for? What is it that you really appreciate? They're the things that are under strengths. In weaknesses, it's very easy, and we know this from this, the psychologists tell us, it's very easy for us to see what's wrong rather than what's right. And in our particular Scottish culture, we're really good at seeing what's wrong and not always good at seeing what's right. And so in order to not obliterate anything or hammer anything into the ground, I'm going to suggest that what you do is you notice that and you prefer. So I notice that there's a lot of people that I don't even know their names now, because there's been so many people have come into church, and I would prefer that I had time and space to be able to get to know people. That's how you do the weakness one. All right, so if you're coming up with a weakness, we're also looking for a solution to it. Threats. I'm concerned or I'm worried about. They would be your threats. So I'm concerned or I'm worried about. So I'm concerned that actually I find it really difficult to have to get time to get to know people. I'm concerned about that. So that would be a concern, and that would be under threats for me. And then opportunities. I'm looking forward to, or I'm excited that. All right, so I'm looking forward to, and let's just keep on that track, I'm looking forward to the time where I can honestly say that I know 90% of the names of people who come regularly on a Sunday morning. I'm not sure how I'm going to do that, but I'm looking forward and excited. So there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity for me to find ways to do that. So that's what a SWOT analysis looks like. What I have for you is I have a pile of paper. Some of the paper is wee paper, that are individual wee paper, so that you can actually see this. So I can leave it on the board, but actually you can have it yourself. You can scribble on it yourself, because some people work better if they've got something to scribble on. So I'll give you these. For each table, it would be good if you could get the kind of consensus, because there'll be strengths, weaknesses, threats, and opportunities that are similar round about the table. It would be great if we've got one person at each table who could scribble on the big sheet so that we can do some reporting back at some point in terms of what we think our strengths, weaknesses, threats, and opportunities are. Okay, is that as clear as mud? Excellent. Okay, I'll give you the sheets out, and we're going to take, let me see what the time looks like. So we're till quarter past, are we? No, till 20 past one. 20 past one, you've got to do the SWOT analysis. So you're doing it, you can scribble away individually, but primarily you're working at your table.
Okay. Thanks, Callum. Thank you. Right, okay. Oh, 2 minutes. No, you're not getting another 2 minutes. No, not another 2 minutes. 2 seconds, you can have another 2 seconds. And no more minutes left. 2 minutes was about 2 minutes ago, funnily enough. Yep, we're going to finish on time. You're all going to be out of here in no later than 3:30. All right. I like being on time. I like people like to finish on time. So, right, okay, good. We're going to start by talking about strengths. So what we're going to do is we're going to do one per table, and you've obviously not to, if whoever comes in front of you mentions one that you've got, you can kind of go, oh, we got that as well. so you get the credit for it, obviously, if that's what you want. But also, don't mention it when it comes around to you, okay? So just pick one that hasn't been mentioned. And we're going to start over here with this table. And so why don't you tell us your first strength, something that you are grateful for and really appreciate.
The diversity of teaching that suits different people.
Okay, diversity of teaching that suits all the people. Yes, I think the teaching team are quite amazing. Is that what you're saying? I think so. Okay, yep.
We got located within the community and within the community centre.
Okay, so it's about being located in the community. We're grateful for that, being in this community centre. Okay, who's speaking for you? You aren't, right, okay. Who is? Claire is, okay.
We're grateful for the presence of God with us.
Okay, grateful for the presence of God. Yep, absolutely.
Grateful for being persistent.
Hold on a second, that rude table over there, we're not listening. I'm watching. Eyes in the back of my head. I can see you.
Grateful for being persistent in pursuing the things of God.
Grateful for persistence in pursuing the things of God. Okay, who's speaking for you? Shona, okay. Yeah.
Strong, authentic worship.
Strong, authentic worship. Okay. Who's speaking for you? Maureen? Right, okay.
Depth in fellowship and the deepness and honesty and the realness in people.
So the depth of relationship and honesty, that's there. Okay, this could go on a wee while, but we'll keep going. Let's do another circuit. Right, okay. Yep.
Individual skills contributing to the whole, working together.
So everybody's part adding together for the bigger piece. That's good, yep.
We've got proactive, sense of purpose and a get stuck in approach.
Proactive sense of purpose. So, yeah, we're going somewhere and we're all going to get stuck in. We're going to do it together. Okay, thank you.
The safe space to be creative, freedom to experiment, pioneering, permission, all of those things tie in.
So it's a safe place to experiment, which means that you can fail as well as succeed, but all of that's okay because we learn. Okay, that's great. Yep.
We're grateful for leaders who are vulnerable, humble, and transparent.
Okay, grateful for leaders. Who are these things?
Focus on our inner lives with Jesus.
Yeah, so it's not about busy, it's about being, and it's about a relationship with Jesus.
That there are people to pray with, an individual prayer.
Again, that people will pray with us. Is it good? Where have you gone? Oh, you're not getting another shot. Okay, is there anything that we've obviously kind of, we can kind of keep going round and round, but anything absolutely that you think, oh, I can't believe that you missed that. Yeah. Anyone want to have a go at that? Anyone want to shout out? There's new folks. So one of the strengths is that there's new folks of all ages. Good, okay, right, let's move on. We'll talk about the weaknesses. Start over here. I'll give you a chance to start. Okay, so those are the strengths. Let's move on to the weaknesses. So we're thinking, I noticed that, and I would prefer that something else happens. Here we go.
So we noticed that it's difficult to get to know people, and we would prefer that. We didn't get an answer to that, but
that you get to know people. Okay. Yeah, difficult to get to know folks. Okay. Hello, nice to see you. That's fine, okay. So difficult to get to know folks, what do we do with that?
Are you looking for an answer to that question?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Like, letting me continue. No, don't have an answer. We noticed that we're really busy and short of time, and we would prefer that it was easier or sometimes, easier to say no to things.
Okay, so the pressure's on time. And we need to give permission to one another to say no and only do the things that God wants us to. Yeah.
We would prefer that there was more integration between different areas of ministry in the church.
Yep. Good. Okay. So let's look at ways to integrate the church, connecting people, making sure that everyone knows all different things that are going on. You know, one of you could have done that. I wouldn't have had to run around.
Prayer doesn't have a prominent part of a Sunday service.
Okay, so we want to look at, and we prefer it that, yeah. So we're looking at the whole place of prayer within a Sunday service. That's one of the weaknesses. What can we do about that?
Yeah, we also had that there's a lack of corporate prayer in the church.
Yeah, which is separate again. So that's prayer again, but obviously more about the kind of corporate intercessory sort of stuff rather than Sundays only.
We noticed that sometimes people come along just once and don't come back, and we prefer if there was some kind of follow-up for people after their first-time visit.
Yeah. How do we track them down like a dog? No? Is that not what you said? Something like that. Okay. Sorry. How do you make sure that people are... I'm not in charge of that job, obviously. So, making sure that we make sure that folks that come once, that we can follow up on them, know how to do that in a nice way. Do you have anything else? You're all done.
I've just remembered that certain people that don't, and they've been coming, don't wait for this afternoon and find out what the vision of the full church is, has been and is going ahead.
Okay. So the kind of question in there is just how do people connect to the vision if they don't connect to the kind of things like this? But okay.
We sometimes miss out on the seasonality of the church calendar, and we'd prefer that we engaged more with that.
The seasonality of the church calendar. Somebody's been missing their epiphanies. It's true, I know. Let's get your epiphany sorted out, that's what I say. Yeah, but there is more. There's a whole lot of things. Right, so seasonality of the church calendar. We could do lots more about that, actually. Yeah. Thank you.
We would prefer that there's more prolonged times of worship where we really hold the presence of God, where things are maybe not just shut down too soon.
Yeah. Okay, were you talking? And so were you talking? Are you talking about Sundays or are you talking about other times? You're talking about Sundays. Right, so some... Right, okay. So how can we kind of make sure that we nurture and maintain the presence of God in worship and that there's openness to all of them? Yeah, shush.
We've kind of got two together. Sometimes it can be a bit cliquish. Sometimes people can fall through the cracks, and there was a suggestion about small groups as a way to kind of help folk find a place that they connect.
Buddies.
Or Karen would like to be a buddy.
We would like to be your buddy too, Karen, that would be good. Okay, so something about how do we make sure that folks don't fall through the cracks, which is presumably related to the come once and then disappear, and how do we make sure we buddy up and all that? Yep.
Yeah, and our second one was the same. It's difficult as a new person to feel involved, and we'd prefer there was more personal invitation to things.
Invitation.
So invitation, if we can, to things so that folks can connect. Okay. Almost there.
We notice that there isn't always space for everyone to come together across the ages, and we'd prefer it if there was more integration.
Who wrote that, Claire? Can't imagine. Yeah, but that's true. Okay, so how do we actually kind of integrate across the families and do the intergenerational stuff better? That's obviously something we need to work on. Good. Anything that's missing that is on your list that you just think, oh, why did they not mention that? Anything? Yes, okay.
Hang on, I'll come to you. I hope some people can hear you.
We would like to see the hosting team increased to not just one statutory person, but a few people that mingle, so that first-time people are really, really, we make sure we get able to speak to them all, they're actually spoken to.
Okay. Yep, so what can we do about the welcome team? Adding T-shirts? I think T-shirts? I think hats and funny noses would be good. All right, some of us have got those already. Maybe a beard. Yeah. Okay, that's the weaknesses. Right, we'll go across here. What are we on to now? We're on to opportunities. We'll do opportunities next. Okay, opportunities.
Threats?
Do you want to do threats next? Yes, let's do threats next. No? No threats. We're doing threats.
That community can sometimes be seen as optional, and people end up on the outskirts.
Okay. Community can feel like it's optional, and folks feel on the outskirts.
Lack of prayer and intercession.
Okay. So picking up again, just what we sort of said about the intercessory stuff, how can we make sure we pray more and make that work better?
Some of our threats actually are weaknesses in the other one, but Yeah, one of them that we said was that sometimes we don't know Scripture well enough individually.
Yep. Good. Yep, how do we make sure we don't suffer from biblical illiteracy? Oh, sorry, Maureen.
We just had one main threat, which was the growth in numbers in the fellowship, because it's hard to get to know people.
Okay, so growth in numbers. So just the kind of growth in numbers stuff, there's a threat through growth in numbers that we wouldn't be able to get to know folks.
That as the church grows, that the coordination among the ministries needs to grow too, and that we don't want people to burn out or get too busy.
Okay, so that's two things, I think. One is about coordination of ministries, and the other one is about making sure we don't burn out. So that's good. Yules?
That very soon the Y-Inch Community Centre is not going to be big enough.
Aye. So the Y-Inch Centre is going to run out of space for us. What do we do next? And is that an opportunity? That might be a threat. What do we do? Okay.
A threat that we can do too much and don't have enough time to be together enough.
So again, just the whole thing of doing too much and needing to be.
Space to build stronger relationships throughout the whole church body. We need that. That's a threat if we don't do that.
Yeah, so again, the whole question of integration. How do we actually connect with folks, make sure that everybody knows and gets to know everybody else?
Past problems with finances might hinder our dreams for the future.
Okay. So past problems with finances might hinder our dreams. Let's agree not to let that happen. But yeah, that is an issue.
I don't have another one, but I don't know if there's that discussion going on.
Oh, are you? Yep, yes, okay. Hang on.
That we run ahead of God and don't wait and ask him which way he wants us to go.
Yep. Which presumably also ties to the prayer thing. So, yeah. Okay, so that we're needing to take time to make sure we don't run ahead of God.
Those two.
Okay. Any more? Okay, that's fine. Anything that we missed? Any big ones we missed, didn't see? Okay, let's do opportunities in that case.
Oh, we just start. New church plants.
Okay, so new church plants are an opportunity.
Yeah, we didn't get to the opportunities, but so we're just excited about the future.
Great, thank you.
We just had one, gifting in old and new members to be recognised and be used to their full potential.
So making sure that everybody's gifts, whether they're old or new folks, is used to the full potential. So we're going to be doing the SHAPE profile again, the course in May. That's one of the things that will really help that. That's good.
Rediscovering a centre of prayer from the love people have for God. Rediscovering a centre of prayer from the love people have for God.
Okay, so rediscovering a centre of prayer. Okay, yep. Thank you.
Unpacking the monastic.
Yes, indeed. Unpacking the monastic. So the urban monastery stuff, where does it fit? What's it all about? How do we grow in it?
We're excited about growth and intimacy of relationship with God.
Okay, so excited about that, growing in relationship with God. Yep.
New men's group coming.
Which is on Wednesday at 6:30 in the Barclay Carroll House, starting this week. So if you're a man, you want to go along, that's you. You can do that. And you can ask Martin, how old does he have to be to come along? That's what he wants to know. Do you have any? Oh, no, you're done. Okay. You're done. Da-da. Right, I'm almost there.
More people from unchurched backgrounds coming to the church family and getting to know Jesus.
Great. So more folks coming to church and coming to know Jesus. That's an opportunity. Okay. Have I been around? I haven't actually been around twice, have I? Did you have another one? You got it? Okay. You have more?
We're excited about growth, creativity, healings, miracles, more of God's presence, building a discipleship culture. I think that was all of them.
Yeah. So, what he said.
Come on, Shona, keep up.
Revival.
Yeah, revival. Does that cover all of it? Yeah.
Okay, anything else? Any other ones that haven't been mentioned? You want some more? Yep. You want a shot? Okay, here we go. Yep, on you go.
More cooperation between ourselves as a church and our community in what we're trying to achieve in the area.
So again, just digging deeper into the community stuff. How do we make sure that that happens well? Okay, any more? And women's ministry, you'd like to talk about that. Women's ministry, yay, come on the women. Good. Let me just say, if you want a curry night, organise it yourself, right? So, anyway, or whatever. Don't. Right, okay. Yeah, let's just do that. So, there's lots of stuff in the midst of all of that. It would be great for us. We just want to spend the next few minutes just praying. Could you pray? There's quite a lot of folks on the table, so can I suggest that you maybe pray in twos or threes and just into all these different things, whatever you think is appropriate, but just do it in twos and threes rather than the whole table. Let's pray into, you know, this stuff. Let's pray.
In a river of fullness in Jesus' name. The third thing is, I'm going to do it again. Listen, friends, I'm going to do it again. I will do another new thing. Hillsong Church, I will do it again.
Father, we're just so grateful for all that you're doing amongst us, for the ways that you lead us, for the ways that you guide us, for the strength and the weaknesses, the opportunities, the threats. Everything is from you. And Lord God, although we look at some of these things and the challenges that are there, the threats perhaps we feel, the difficulties, the struggles, the weaknesses we see there, Lord God, there's opportunity to grow there. There's opportunities as we see these things to press in and to say, right, well, what can we do? And Lord God, we thank you for that. But Lord, we also thank you for the other things, for those, for the vistas in front of us, the opportunities that are opening up, for the strengths that we see enabling us to go forward. And we want to pray, Lord God, that we would give you both our weaknesses and our strengths, that you would we would give you not only the kind of the places where we need you to come, but Lord God, that you would admit, that you would take the things that we can do. We offer them to you willingly as on an open hand, and we say, God, take us and use us if you want, and Lord, don't use us if you want. You know, we just want to be completely at one with you, completely in obedience to your plan and your purpose and your will. So Lord, we pray that you would do this now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, so we start off by remembering, we start off by thinking about where we are at the moment. And that starts to create in us a bit of a longing or an ache or a holy discontent, whatever it is you want to call that, in terms of where we are just now, because we can see where we're meant to be. We can see where we're going. And for each of us, seeing where we're going will be slightly different. And we're going to think just now about how to start to dream. We're going to think about how we start as individuals to dream. And within the learning community and the 3DM structure, when we do learning communities, which is what we're building on just now, within that structure, we give space so that individuals can get a chance to think. And in these kind of settings, often it's the extroverts that win in these settings, because the extroverts and the verbal processors love the stuff round about the tables where they get to bang off with one another and spar off with each other, and that gets them gets all their juices running and all the rest of it. For those of us who are introverts, sometimes that's actually a really difficult thing to do. And so we want to be able to create space so that if you're not a verbal processor, if you're an internal processor, and if you're an introvert, you actually get a wee bit of space to be able to take your own, to press pause, to take some time to do that. And we're going to do that just now. So those of you who are extroverts, after this next wee bit of input, you're just going to have to suck it up, basically, because the introverts always are carried along with the let's talk about it, let's discuss it, let's nail it together. And we're just going to turn the tables just for 10 minutes in just a minute or two to allow introverts just that space. And in actual fact, it's a great discipline for extroverts as well to be able to take that space to go inside. Remember when we talked about the on the emotionally healthy stuff, we talked about part of the reason that we find it so difficult to stop and to actually be with ourselves is because sometimes when we sit with ourselves, it's uncomfortable what we start to feel on the inside. So I'm going to encourage you to drill down into that today and to think about what that looks like for you, to think about how that feels and to sit with it and to see what comes up from there. But I want to read again. This time we're going to Exodus this time. And it's a very similar passage to the passage that Alan was reading this morning when God is pointing people towards where they're going. So have a look at this. This is from Exodus 33. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought out of Egypt, and go up to the land that I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey." This promised land that God described to the Israelites is the place that he described as the land that's flowing with milk and honey. And I want to ask you, what does the promised land look like for you? As you think about where we're at as a church, as you think about White Inch Church, and as you think about all the things that we do, as you think about some of the stuff that's already come up with the SWOT analysis this afternoon, as you start to think about that, what does the promised land look like for you? As you gaze into that vista, so that picture that we had initially with the top of the hill where you can look out and you can see far beyond where you're sitting just now. What does the promised land look like for you? One of the other ways to think about this is, what is the holy discontent that you're living with? Sometimes when God is birthing vision in us, sometimes when he's birthing a dream in us, it's like something that just won't go away. We know that where we're at's not right. We're discontent with where we're at. We're discontent with what we've got round about us. So that's what's coming out in some of this. We're discontented about where we are. And it starts as a holy discontent. So what is it you're discontented about? What is it that every time you sit down and you think about White Inch Church, what is it that comes up for you? What is it that starts to gnaw at you? What is that? What is that holy discontent? Because sometimes out of that place of holy discontent is where the vision for what could be comes. Because where we're at just now is not where we want to settle. So we don't want to settle with that holy discontent and just think, oh, we just have to live with it. We actually want to look and see, well, what is this holy discontent giving me a vision for? What is it that I'm dreaming about that this holy discontent is prompting in me? What is that? What is that? And what does it look like? One of the things to say about vision when it's God is that normally, Alan said it already today, normally if it's God, it looks far too big for us. And I want to say to you that how is never a problem for God. So whatever it is you're sitting with, if it's God that's saying it, if it's God that's birthing the vision in you, how is not a problem for him? How is not a problem at all? How is a big problem for us, but how is not a problem for him at all? The who is much more important than the how. And I really do want to pause on that one. The who is much more important than the how. When you start to get that holy discontent, when you start to get that vision, that burning desire in you for what could be that isn't yet, then the who in the midst of that is much more important than the how. And I want to say that if the who is you or the who is me, then we're in a bit of trouble. If the who is God, we're back in the Deuteronomy passage from the first bit of input again. If the who is God, then the how is irrelevant. Because if the who is God, then God owns all the resources. God has all of it at his disposal, and he's able to do whatever it is that he has purposed and has planned. And again, when we read on in that Exodus passage, God, through Moses, has just said, you know, you got to take all these people, you got to go, there's the land over there, I've brought you out of Egypt, now go, that's where you're meant to be, the land flowing with milk and honey. And this is what goes on in that passage later on. Moses says to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? If God's not going, I don't want to go. If he's not going with us, I don't want to go. If he is setting us up for something that's for now and he's going, then absolutely I want to jump on and go. If he's setting us up for something and he's giving us wind of it now in our holy discontent in this moment, but it's not for now, then I don't want to go, because I don't want to go before he's going. So if he's not on that bus today, then I don't want to be on that bus today. And there's something about when God gives us vision, there's sometimes a space between when the vision comes and when the vision is actually realized. And that space, lots of the literature that you read round about vision and dreaming and all the rest of it, lots of the literature talks about in that space is the time when very often the dreams are lost, because we don't have the patience to hold on and wait until God actually brings to birth the thing in the right time. I suppose it is a bit like having a baby. It would be nice if you were having a baby, where if you could always say that on that day, at that time, at that place, that's when you were going to have the baby. But we know, those of us who have and those of us who haven't had children, that that's not the way babies do it. That actually when God births something in us, sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes there's a period that God takes us through that we have to wait. If he's not going with us, then I don't want to go. If he's not going with me, then I don't want to go. And when you start to think about your dreams today, when you start to allow God to mess with that holy discontent that's in you, it might be for now and it might be for later. And that's okay. Either is okay. But it's the discernment of, God, are we going now or are we going later? God, are you going with us at all? Is this just my good idea or is it your good idea? So we're going to take some time to think about that just now. I want to put up the Urban Monastery picture, because that's really one of the things that we felt as a leadership team that God has really said to us in White Inch, that we are to build the Urban Monastery. And the reason I put this up is because it almost carries all of the other aspects of everything else that was kind of coming through, and certainly what Alan was talking about this morning. So within the Urban Monastery, within the plan for the Urban Monastery, there are five areas. Everything within the Urban Monastery is underpinned by the house of prayer and worship. Everything is underpinned by that, the presence of God, the house of prayer and worship, where God is, the red hot center. And then there are four areas. There's the mission base, there's the center for creativity, the place of learning and equipping, and the community of healing and renewal. And depending on who we are, there might be one of those places that draws us more than the others. There might be two or three of them that draw us more than others. But whatever it is that is drawing us, what we want to be very clear about, that at the very heart of it is the center of prayer and worship, because everything is built around that red hot center. So as you start to dream, start asking yourself the question, what does it look like for my dream to be birthed from the red hot center? What does it look like for my dream to be fueled by the red hot center? What does it look like for prayer and for worship and for the presence of God to fuel whatever it is I'm dreaming about? Interestingly, I started to do this. You'll not be able to see it from where you're sitting, but just as I was scribbling up all the stuff, the amount of times that prayer appears on those sheets, I started to ring the prayer words on it, and it appears, I think prayer appears more than any other word on those sheets that you've talked about so far. What does it look like to birth your dream and then to see your dream unfold and to walk through the dream and the vision that God has given you when prayer and worship and the presence of God is at the very center? So there are a few ways that you can do this, and you're going to do it on your own. So we're going to take 10 minutes to do it by yourself. There are a few ways that you can do it, and it depends on how you work and how your mind works, and you can use any of these ways to do it. So You can imagine that tomorrow morning you wake up and you are in your promised land. So you might already know what your vision is. You might already know what you're dreaming about. Imagine tomorrow morning you wake up and you're in your promised land. What are the first things that you notice which tell you that something has changed? What will be happening? How will you feel? Who or what will be there? That might help you to work with the dream that God has given you. It might not. Here's another way. What is it that's bothering you? What is your holy discontent? So what are you discontented about? What should be? If that holy discontent wasn't there because it had been addressed, what would be then? What is it that should be that's not at the moment? So that's another way of doing it. Or another way, take us on a time machine to a year from now, next January 2018. We're here, we're having another Vision Day because we're having a Vision Day in January 2018 too, and we're giving thanks for what has happened in 2017. What are you giving thanks for in January 2018? And that may help you to start to work with what is it that you're dreaming about. So three possible ways of doing it. We're going to take 10 minutes. You can sit at the table if you like. You can go find a space in the room. But we're going to take 10 minutes just on our own to do this. It's only 10 minutes. So if you hate time on your own and you hate not talking to people, you've only got to do it for 10 minutes. And then Alan's going to pull us back and he's going to explain to us what we're going to do next. Okay, so we get some music on. We'll take 10 minutes to dream. There's some paper on the table there. There's actually some extra paper here as well if you want paper to dream with. If you don't want to scribble, then you can think it, but that's okay.
Well done, the extroverts. You managed to not combust 10 minutes of not speaking to people. Okay, what we're going to do now is we are going to take a break for coffees and juices and teas and stuff like that, and please eat the rest of the sandwiches. So we're going to take a very quick break. What we're going to do is we're going to ask you to go away. If you want to have coffees and tea, that's fine. You don't need to. But come back to a different table other than the people who were spokespeople at the last round. Okay, so the folks that are spokespeople, you are in the same place, same tables. Everybody else move. And in 5 minutes, once we've got our coffees and teas, we're just literally running to get coffees and teas. It won't do it in 5 minutes, but 5 or 10 minutes. And then come back. And then what we want to do is we're going to ask you just to find one person in your new table to share with the dream that you've been thinking about. Okay? So don't be naughty and do that thing where you actually leave your table with the same people and go to another table together. The idea is that we mix up and we actually meet new people. So let's do coffees and teas for 5-10 minutes at the most. Coffees, teas, sandwiches, all the rest of it. It's a quick toilet break if you need it. And we're going to start again in the new tables at 2:15. 2:15. Okay, you need to come back to the tables now. Come on back. Choose another table. Come on back. Come on, you can do it. Come this way, walk towards the voice. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, then you get confused. Start bumping into speakers. Right, come on, back you come. Different table, different place. Go and talk to somebody else. Go and sit with someone else. Don't sit at the same table again. You need to move. Okay, I can see people who were at the same... Wait. Don't all move to the same tables either. Lovely. Lovely. That's amazing. Well done. Yeah. Come on back. Come on. Okay, you need to move chairs. Need to move tables, remember. Don't all go in big groups. No cheating. Okay, once everyone's sat down, we're going to get started again. So, come on, the dares. Now you can see you. Oh, okay. Right, grab a seat, sit down. Good, right, okay. So, what we need you to do is that we are now asking you to sit with somebody else that you've not talked to before. And for the next 10 minutes, 5 minutes each, What we want you to do is we want you to talk to that person just about what you felt you got when we were doing the dreaming thing. So what is it that you're dreaming about? What is it that you are looking for? And then listen to them and ask them questions and kind of like, oh, that's really interesting. What does that mean? And, oh, I didn't know. Oh, that's really... And why are you saying that? And what's that all about? And, you know, all that kind of thing. So ask some questions and then swap round, okay? So you need to get yourself into pairs, not threes. As I'm going to be firm about the not threes rule. Pairs, not threes, and not to somebody that you've already talked to. So if you've been... If you were sitting at the table with someone before and you moved with them, you're not allowed to talk to that person. You have to talk to somebody else. Everyone, have you all got pairs? Right. We've got an extra body that needs to go over there. That's fine. Norman's going. Well, thank you, Norman. Have you all got pairs?
You got pairs, you got pairs.
Okay, you're all in pairs. Off you go. You get 10 minutes, 5 minutes each, starting now. Go. Okay, the first person that's shading has 1 more minute to finish whatever they want to say or that conversation, and you're about to swap over, okay? So first person, finish your thing in 1 minute. Okay, if you have not started swapping over and the second person hasn't started telling their stuff, you do that now. So swap over, you've got 4 minutes. Okay, right. Can I draw you to attention? Right, here we go. So, thank you very much. So what we want to do now, we've had a chance to just to chat with somebody else and maybe for them to hear our stuff, which is great. What we want to do now is that the folks who are scribes on your table, who are sort of spokespeople for your table, we want them basically to kind of to listen to everybody who's just in one sentence. Don't know if you manage this, but in one sentence, trying to summarize what it is that is the essence of your dream. Okay, so the kind of if you can summarize, some of you aren't going to no paragraphs. That's right. So the idea is that they will then write down what are the things that you actually kind of. What you're listening for, what are the dreams that you have, okay? So you're just going to round the table, everyone's going to sort of say their thing just in a sentence or two at the most. The guys will then write it down. And then what we want you to do with that is we would love you to see if there are any common themes. So once everyone's listened, you know, you want to do two things. Are there any common themes, and are there things that you've heard somebody else say that you absolutely feel, Oh, God is all over that idea. That's a fantastic idea. So not talking about your own stuff, but talking about other people's stuff. Is there something in particular? And then what we're looking for from the feedback from the guys is basically big common themes and anything that really kind of sparked people's excitement and interest. So that's what we're looking for in terms of feedback from the spokespeople. Is that clear? Everyone clear what we're doing? So everyone shares one sentence. You've got the best part of 25 minutes to do this, so you've got plenty of time to have a good chat. And we really want to kind of, you know, talk to them and sort of say, right, well, what do you think? And then we're trying to sort of say common themes, and then the thing that, you know, and then, oof, that really sounds exciting. Talk to me more about that. That's the thing that I really sense God sort of saying something about. And the next step, and the next step, right? And you want a next step. So in other words, a so what? So if there's particular themes or the particular dreams that you kind of think, oh yeah, that's really it, then it would be helpful in the middle of the conversation if you would kind of go, but what would we actually do? How would we take that forward? What's the next step? Okay? So a list, everyone together, themes, big ideas that people kind of like really resonate with, and then specifically next steps for those big things, okay? Everyone clear? Good. Okay, that's great. We've got 25 minutes. Thank you. Right, you've got another, you're only halfway through your time, so don't worry. But everyone should have gone round the table. Everyone should have listed their things, and you're looking now for common themes, or you're looking for big ideas that everyone goes, ooh. And you're looking then to actually kind of give us some first steps, not from all of them, but just from one or two of the kind of key things, which are the ones we're going to ask you to feedback on. Okay, so you get another 10 minutes. Okay, so you've got 5 minutes left. You should now be at the stage where you've picked your one or two big ideas and you're pressing in for first steps. So in the last 5 minutes, pick your one or two or three big ideas and sort of say, right, well, what are the first steps? So in the next, and here's to make it specific, in the next 6 months, what would we need to do to actually begin to make this happen? So in the next 6 months, what do we need to do to make this thing happen? So two or three ideas, focus on them, and then we'll get feedback after that. So you get 5 minutes. That's us. Thank you.
Okay. That's us just about there. We want to take some feedback on this. We'd like to take some feedback on this because we want to hear what the dreams are. And I suppose our hope and maybe even our expectation is that there will be similarities through the dreams. Can I just say to you before we take the dreams, before we take your feedback from the dreams and the next steps, we want to be able to do something with this because there's no point in having a vision day and then just saying, well, that was very nice, thanks very much, and not doing anything with it. So what we're suggesting is that we will feedback in terms of what's come out of the vision day, but we just need a wee while to gather it together to do that. The leadership team are meeting on the 19th of January, I think the leadership team day is. So after the 19th of January, then we'll pull something together that will feedback to all of you who are here, plus the folks who aren't here in terms of what came out of the vision day. So you know it's coming. So if it's not here this Sunday or even the following Sunday, it is coming. We haven't forgotten about it. It is coming, but it's taken a wee while. Okay, so we're going to take some feedback. Let's go in a different order from the last time. I think we're going to go up here first. Okay, so we would like to know, we'd like everybody to be able to hear, if you've pulled together to get your corporate dream, so if you've managed to get kind of common threads that are running through, or you've got the ones that are, oh my goodness, God's all over that, and what the next step is. So we're doing both at the same time. Okay, so dream and next step, so it can all go on the one sheet.
Thanks. I hope we've done this kind of in the right way, but through the discussions, we realised that actually everything we do needs to be rooted in prayer. And we were also kind of talking about the picture that Jinty painted this morning, drew this morning, just about how actually we need to do it together. And even though we have, you know, there might be lots of different kind of things happening, we all need to kind of be rooted together and have compassion for each other in that as well, when folk are maybe not there or not where you are. if that makes sense. We kind of talked a wee bit. People at the table had different experiences of coming into this church, and we were kind of thinking about as the church grows about how we actually kind of look after each other and welcome each other. And we wondered if a really practical thing to do would be to think about the kind of host and welcome team, and kind of think about how we kind of do that better. It's not that it's been done badly, but actually I think there's kind of ways that we can just make sure that folk don't kind of slip through the net and feel that they're part of things. And the other thing that kind of came out was just having a better understanding of the Holy Spirit and having some teaching practical kind of sessions on learning more about the Holy Spirit, because we realised that everything we do, we need the Holy Spirit in it. So I'm not sure that's very articulate. Anything else? I think what we were seeing was, we're talking about this increase in numbers and actually seeing people free and in church and welcome to be here and learning for themselves as well. And, you know, kind of being able to go for it together as a church and on their own too, as well. No. Well, I think just, I know, just practically, like getting the welcome hosting team together and looking at kind of ways to do that better. Growing it as well. And just putting some real kind of practical steps into kind of how we do things on a Sunday morning. Yeah. Practical sessions on Holy Spirit, kind of teaching in that as well.
Okay, so that's almost like about seeing us as a church that is welcoming, but is also then resourcing people to move into greater places of freedom, which is what the Holy Spirit teaching would be about as well. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm going this way. I'm going to go anti-clockwise just because I can. So, okay. So what does it look like? What's your dream? And then the next.
You can't fight about who's going to do it.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Pamela.
There you go, Pamela.
Where is the mic? modelling loving relationships that reach out to men's ministry and to people multiculturally. We actually see a need, and even Donna saying that, that's been surveyed in our community, that there's people from different ethnic minorities really need support in this community, and really need included in things. To be honest, we haven't got any first steps for the multicultural one yet. Obviously, the men's ministry is starting, so that is starting to take place. The other thing was that a few of us had in the group a real heart for corporate prayer, a real vision for prayer and worship. I would like to see 24/7 prayer and worship at least started. And also on-site strategic intercessory prayer teams raised up for evangelism and missions and outreach. Okay. So somebody else as well had help for people to integrate into the church who maybe are really struggling with some issues and wouldn't find it as easy to do that, but maybe that can come into, maybe specific people getting put on the hosting team that would be willing to help with that. support for children with parents who have a lot of life controlling issues, addiction, mental illness, different things like that that they're struggling with. Support for the children of parents. Right, okay. So take, other thing was take what we've got at White Inch and help release that to other places in different communities. Whether that's from the church or whether that's what we've got set up in Lakes of the Ark or different places here, but taking what we've already got well established here and helping other places out with in Glasgow and different areas to set those things up and have those things. And that's outreach, and training up leaders for different areas of service. And Iris has wrote, I'm just going to read what Iris has wrote. Every one of us in the church has to take responsibility to make these things happen. We just have to do it.
Cool, and that actually, I think that's really interesting, because when we do a vision day like this, it's easy for us to sit, because I've done it, it's easy for us to sit and say, oh, we need this, and we need this, and we need this, and we need this, so what are you going to do about it? But actually, it's okay, God, I'm the answer, so start with me, and what does that look like? So that, I think, that's a very good word.
Okay. Cool. So, three dreams. Our first dream is of a physical place that's a purpose specific for what we need. We're quite specific that it has a spa in it, or an SPA, as we were talking about, for those people who associate with that. That it's a place. It's a physical place, but it has roots that spread through the community, and that's a place where everyone in White Inch comes at some point in the week. So that's our dream number one. First steps in doing that is that we're not going to go and start building somewhere, but we're going to assess the needs and continue to point people towards Jesus. We don't want it to be a place that. That people think that that's their answer, but actually that God's their answer, and so we still want to continue to point people towards Him. Dream number two is that we want a place where people can experience continual healing, renewal, and freedom. And the next steps that we want to do that is to continue to pray for people in faith, to identify where people need to experience freedom, we chatted about a kind of intergeneration kind of support network type thing that's really important. So there we go. Dream number three. Sorry. So the steps were to continue to pray for people in faith, to identify where people need to experience freedom. Great. And some kind of intergenerational support network. Dream number three is that we are a place where where everyone knows the calling that God's placed in their lives, and that they're supported to live out that calling. And our next steps for that are things like the Shape Course, the kind of mentoring stuff that's going on, and just encouraging people to continue to kind of hear from God. That's awesome.
Fantastic. Moving along.
Right. Okay. trying to interpret this the best way I can. I think the key phrase that came out is the rhythm that connects the community. And what comes out of that combination is the way in which we light the fires out there. The image of sparks and a dry wood that was used this morning. And we've got various visions, various dreams for doing that, including sound, the gaming community's spiritual nourishment and spiritual adoption as well, and freedom for people who are, I won't say within the church family, but connected to the church family in whatever way, shape or form. And so the needs that we identified would be having some sense of community practice, which leads to some kind of rhythm. Maybe looking at the idea of having an annual calendar, almost like a liturgical calendar, but actually tied to what's relevant for us as a community, rather than just a sort of like a standard, you know, let's lift the Book of Common Prayer, that's what we're going to do, actually tied to what we need as a community. And the other idea was a contemplative forum. Have I missed anything? Blank stares around the table. So either I've hit the nail on the head or I've completely killed it.
Forum.
Okay, some of the things that everyone else has been talking about came up with us too. And so one of the main themes was prayer and thinking about a rhythm of prayer. One idea was to have 24 hours of prayer once a month, that you could come and pray or you could pray where you are, but that you would sign up. Rachel's very excited about it. Sign up to do an hour somewhere. The other thing that came up was healing, spiritual and physical healing, and to release, the next step would be to release those who've already been trained in healing ministry or in their work as well, people who are working in counselling or in the medical profession as well, to release them. And one's about community and harmony and power in his presence, and things being all-inclusive. That was sort of some of the themes in the dreams. And our next step for that was review Sunday mornings and look at how people are released into their gifts and look at where there's time for practical conversations as well as community conversations. One of the things we said is that often come on a Sunday morning and you've got three or four people to speak to, and just where do we build in the time to do that, have those practical conversations on a Sunday, but also to have the community conversations, to welcome new people, to talk to people who you haven't spoken to in a while, to talk to that person who you know who's struggling, and just how we review a Sunday morning to include that, as well as all the other things that we want to include on a Sunday morning.
Fantastic. And the last one.
Hi, we had... The main themes were connection, community, belonging, and healing as one kind of connected theme. Another one was openness for growth and learning. And a third one was grounding in God and in his word. And some practical steps to get there was to have more community events, not just church events. The question was, how do we reach out and become more accessible? And danger of making church for the churched, and to be careful of jargon. That we should have a focus on relationships, and I think that's came up, creating space for trust and sharing and inviting people for coffee, just how do we make those connections? And there was also a suggestion just at the end of a buddying system, but how that works out, we don't know.
Okay, just as you've as we've listened around the room and as you've listened to people's dreams and to some of the next steps, you can see how there's a huge diversity of things that are there that are burning for folks in terms of of their vision, in terms of the passion that God is putting within them. And so for every person in the room, we could have a different dream. Now this isn't, I'm about to go off-piste just at the moment, but hey. As I was listening, I'm thinking, you know, as a leadership team, how do we take forward the stuff of vision? Because it's impossible for us to take forward. It's impossible for us to do all of this at the one time. And within your tables, we asked you to look at prioritising what was there. What I'm wondering is whether or not if we could put the sheets up that we've got from the dreams, the same way that we've done with these ones. I will even take those ones down if we've run out of blue tack, which we might have. And then what I wonder is whether or not we can just take 5 minutes to go around. As you've listened to the dreams, perhaps there's something that you've thought, man, I never thought of that, but actually that's where we need to go first. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a post-it. If you take one post-it each and tear it in half, and then I'd like you to stick your post-it on wherever it is on these sheets that you think actually that is where we need to go first. And what I'm wondering is whether or not if you do that, we can actually get a consensus, if we can find the ones that are really the ones that are rising to the top for us just now in terms of priority. That doesn't mean that all the other ones are not important. And it doesn't mean that we don't address all the other ones, but it does give us as a leadership team a step for a hint in terms of where do we go next. Because if we're serious as a leadership team, and we are serious as a leadership team about actually leading out of everybody, you know, it's not a top-down approach, it's a how do we gather that and how do we hear the temperature and how do we hear what it is that people are saying. So if we're really serious about that, then I certainly want to know, well, where is it that folks are saying, that's it, that's where it is. And as you've listened, maybe some of them have really grabbed you. And I know I was picking stuff up kind of along the way in terms of what people were saying. But if stuff's grabbed you, take your post-it and you've got two votes. So it's your top two things. Tear your post-it in half. Tear your post-it in half and stick it on one on one and one on something else so that you get two votes. If we could do that just in 5 minutes, what we're going to do then is you're going to come back to your tables and we're going to take some time to pray. So we're going to finish the afternoon just by being able to sit and to pray together and to pray into some of the stuff that you've talked about this afternoon, to pray into the dreams and the visions. And I would ask you to pray for the leadership team as we try to take this forward and what that looks like, that we do really catch what God's vision is for here. And that we're very sure it's not just a well God might be saying, but that we're really sure that that's what God is actually saying. So take your post-it, go and vote on the blue and red bits of paper, and then come back to your tables. Okay? Nobody's going to stop you now until the very end, I don't think. So once you've been round and done your voting, come back, join together and pray, and then we'll wind up at the very end. So we're just encouraging you, as soon as you've voted, to come back to your tables and spend the last 10 minutes just praying into the stuff that we've had out of the dreams. And then at 3:30, somebody will start to pray up here and we'll finish off.
Is that right?
Oh, there we go. Why don't we just stand? We'll just worship together to finish. sing that again. So God, we honor you. God, we honor you for all that you've done. You're so worthy of our praise. You're so worthy of all the glory, God. God, as we reflect on all that you've done, God, we're so thankful. And God, will you bless us as we go from here? God, will you highlight the things that are your heart? God, the things that are not from you, will you let them fall now? And God, God, will you lead us so clearly to where you want us to go? God, and we say yes now. We say yes to all that you've got planned for us. We say yes to all that you've got lined up for this next 6 months, for this next year. God, we say yes to all that you want. God, thank you, God. Amen. Amen. Be blessed as you go. Have a great week. And finished 5 minutes early. This is like new White Inch Church. Unbelievable.